tell me in great little wonders, just like it was you.
Okay, so we are recording.
Recording. You can see at the top, the I think is showing you that we're recording, and that's very exciting. Unique New
York.
What is
that little thing where it's showing percentages of up and down with different percentages? What does that mean?
Great question. I don't know what that means.
I mean, does it mean how well we're doing? Because right now we're
at 99%. I think what that means is it's going as well as it could possibly go. So,
I don't think so. We just had a 72. Oh, now we're at 94%.
Well,
yeah, I don't like
it toggles. I think our aggregate is 97, so I think it's pretty good, whatever that means. We're going to figure that out later, folks. and we're trying out a new platform because we've just catapulted into, I mean, now we're like, I think we're one of the top podcasts in the universe.
For sure.
Not just Earth, but like, other places.
All of the stratosphere. Yeah. Everyone who has an ear, and maybe even if they don't, are listening.
They are, and we're very honored that they are.
I wonder if it's because even in the stratosphere, people are still taking care of aging loved ones and having to be concerned about their Joanna and how they're going to care for their Joanna.
Everybody has their own Joanna that they have to worry about, and it's no surprise that it's happening all over the place.
Do you think Joanna will become a verb with I'm Joanna-ing, meaning I'm caring for an aging loved one?
Doesn't really ring off the tongue there, so we can take it for a test run, but I'm dubious that that's going to actually have legs and go somewhere, but you never know.
All right, I have a story.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so last Sunday, I think, I was covering the 2 to 5 shift with mom, and you had left me ingredients to make lentil soup for her, which she loves. And so whenever I'm with her and I'm doing something, I try to involve her, even if it's just minimal, if she's hanging out with me in the kitchen. So she's at the kitchen counter with me. I'm gathering ingredients. I said, what else do we need besides salt and pepper? And she said, music. So I said, I completely agree with you. What would you like to hear? And she said, The Sound of Music. So we turned on The Sound of Music, the album, you know, so she could listen and sing along while we made our lentil soup. And then because it was pouring rain, I couldn't take her for a walk, or I didn't really want to take her out to do something. It's hard to navigate her in the rain. So when we were done and the lentil soup was marinating, for lack of a better word, simmering, I guess. We sat down in the family room and I said, why don't we watch the Sound of Music movie? And so we turned on the movie and I put on the sing-along edition, which she just was thoroughly enjoying, filled with glee, singing along her own versions of the lyrics, which were great. But I was thinking about how this is everything I could have wanted regarding mom's care. The idea that I cooked with her, sort of. I mean, I cooked, she hung out with me. And then we sat down to watch a movie together, a long movie, by the way, you know, took up the bulk of the time, and just reveled in the joy of my time with her because I wasn't doing laundry or giving her a shower or worrying about what's going to happen next or how am I going to navigate, you know, this situation or that situation. It was just purely the joy of being taskless with my mom, which really was an experience that I haven't had with her outside of our experience of having brought her home and having this lovely team of caregivers who are taking care of every need.
Yeah, I remember within the first couple days of having our home caregivers set up working and you walking in to everything completely in order, the bed clean and made, laundry done and folded, mom clean and clothed and comfortable reading or watching TV. And I remember you sending this message to the caregivers, just communicating how overjoyed you were that that was what you walked into, because it was very often when we had her at the assisted living home, and even just when we were trying to care for her ourselves in different times, that we would walk out into the rooms and see carnage and whatnot, and have to clean it up and spend all that time dealing with it. And because that caregiving role and for it to be done properly and with compassion and skill is such an important part of this whole situation for caring with your loved ones, we thought for this podcast, we're going to focus on caregivers and caregiving, what these professionals do, and not just talking about us, but the support we have in the home and how they work, what their experience has been, some suggestions they have for others that are working with caregivers. And we're going to have Latrice and Alice, who are part of our dream team, come on with us and chat about mom, chat about what they've been doing. And we were fortunate enough to meet them when she was at the assisted home that she was in, Joanna. And luckily for timing, I promise we didn't poach them, although we would have loved to. They happened to be leaving that place at the exact time that we were bringing mom home and looking for our dream team to be drafted and put together. And so we were very lucky that it all came down, that we got these amazing women.
Right. And I think that, you know, we really should preface this by saying that when we talked about the idea of bringing mom home for assisted living, we knew we had to have care in place, especially with the idea that you would be coming home to live with her full time. While you're coming home, you're not changing briefs and, you know, showering her and doing all, taking her to the bathroom, all those nitty gritty things, which I was doing because I'm her female daughter. But I will say also, there's no joy in that. Not to mention the fact that I wasn't going to be on call available to come and do that, you know, every couple hours. So the idea that we had to really think through, one, your ability and interest in coming to stay with her, which I know I say it over and over, but I'm going to say again that without you being willing to do this, this would have been a moot point. I don't know if I was ready to leave my own home and move into mom's home to do this. I'm not saying it was out of the question, but it certainly wasn't something I was dying to do in my first summer of, or first year of retirement, or really ever, if I don't have to. But so thank you again for that. I'm going to bring that up as many times as possible because one, you're great at it and you do an amazing job. But of course we knew we needed support. And so the conversation had to be, once you were on board, well, who's our team? Can we find people who are willing to work the hours that we need, who are willing to do the kind of work that we need to have done? Because without that, this move wouldn't have been possible. And I wouldn't have been sitting on a Sunday afternoon in a thunderstorm watching and singing Sound of Music with my mom, which is really joyful.
It is joyful. And so I thought we would start with giving us a little background, giving our audience a little background about what are the details of care that she needs. I know we've touched on it in the initial couple episodes, but I think it's important. Trigger warning, we're getting into very gritty details about pooping and those type of things. Not much worse than you would have dealt with if you're caring for a baby. So it's nothing too salacious, but we are going to get into some of these details because we think it's important to really talk about the actual work and what goes on and what has to be done. I think everybody kind of gets it, what that is, but I think it's important to talk about specifically what we had to deal with, what our caregivers have to deal with. And also, just want to take a step back and say, you know, we did think about if mom didn't have dementia and we asked her, hey, do you mind if we tell the world about you pooping yourself? Would you be okay with that?
Well,
you'd be like, no, I'm not okay with that. But we have, you know, talked through it and realized that we just think it's very important. And certainly she is in a place now where she's not going to be able to understand what's going on with this podcast and feel embarrassment. And we just think it's so important for everyone to know what's going on. So we've decided to move forward with those details. And we just thought it was important to let you know what our thinking was on.
Yeah, we respect the idea that our mother is someone who really cared about dignity, and physical appearance was a really huge thing to her. And I'm sure she would be horrified. On the other hand, maybe she would find some gratification in knowing that we are creating this with an effort to help others. And if we don't touch on uncomfortable topics, then what's the purpose here? All of this is so uncomfortable. It almost has become second nature to us. But yes, this is a good point that for some people, they may think, oh, I can't believe you're talking about your mom's poop. But I mean, I can't tell you how much I've talked about poop in the last several years. I never really would have thought this would have been such a key part of the conversation. But it is, and it's a vital part of her care. So with that, let's dig in.
Yeah. And so you had a story. I've got a story. So while I was living in LA, we had a Thanksgiving that we were going to in LA because we have a lot of family there. It's always been our second home. As brother Richard and her parents, our grandparents, moved there, I don't know, with 60s or 70s or something.
1971.
So like half the family was, and along with, and she, her grandpa was the oldest of 11 kids, and half of them.
Our grandpa, her dad.
Right. Sorry. Our grandpa, her dad. And so half of them had settled in California generally. So we had a whole tree of family all over the place there. We're constantly going there. Every Christmas growing up, we would go and spend time and stay with Richard, her brother. And it
3 weeks in the summer and, you know, any extra time that we had, we spent all of our time in LA.
And so it was always one of her favorite things to, and she's just always been a big swimmer and he'll always live right by the ocean, so we would spend time by the ocean, and she would brave the freezing cold waters to go and swim, and it was always just a big part of her life. And so as long as we could, we wanted to, and I was living there now.
Hold on. Can I do a quick aside? This might be cut, but I have to think about it. I thought about this when I was doing the night shift a couple weeks ago with her, and I was watching the documentary of the 50th anniversary of Jaws. And I had this memory of mom taking me and my lifelong bestie, Gina Sophia Catalina, to see Jaws. We were 11 and she took us to see that movie. And then the next day, our family boarded our flight to LA. And of course, day one, she's swimming in the Pacific Ocean and I was not. And I just would like it noted that mom took us to see Jaws before taking us to the ocean.
Well, shark attacks are actually very rare in Los Angeles and Southern California. So I think it was fairly safe. Though I've swum in the ocean a bunch myself, having lived there. And you do think about it. No question about it. You do think about it.
There's
leopard sharks in Southern California, so they don't eat people. It's a different type of situation. But that's a separate podcast that you can look into. Anyway, so she's already getting pretty deep into the D, as we call it, the dementia. And she has all, you know, come to visit me and spent weeks at a time out in LA. And so we arranged this Thanksgiving in Los Angeles with our family. It's all wonderful. And it's a great place to do it. And she comes out and stays with me. And so everybody's around. And so she's staying with me. And then you and Julie are staying in an Airbnb a few blocks away. And a lot of families in town. I think Julie's kids were in town, or a couple of them were in town. And so we're getting ready for the big few days of Thanksgiving, a lot of events planned around it. And we touched on this earlier about having to be there when mom gets up before her feet hit the ground. We weren't yet at this point religious about making sure that happened, because she was a little bit self-sufficient. Like, she could go to the bathroom and be in there by herself. She could change her diaper by herself. She was already incontinent, but she was able to do those things in the bathroom by herself, which is why she could stay with me, because obviously I wasn't going to help her with that, as you've mentioned. And so I'm checking in the morning to just make sure she's out of bed and getting her to the bathroom. But I'm just not as religious as I need to be about checking that. And sure enough, one morning I wake up and she's already been up really early. And the room in where she's staying has a bunch of poop stains on the carpet. And there's also like some other stain on the carpet. And it turns out, because what happens is she gets up and she'll sit on the side of the bed, which is extremely well protected. It's like a military fortress in there. Like, you can't get to the mattress. There's so many pads and waterproof stuff going on. There is like a whole formula I figured out. You can't get there. You can't get there. But if she's sitting on the side of the bed and then she doesn't remember, she has to go right to the bathroom, she'll try to take off her brief. And again, this is all conjecture on what probably happened, but we don't know for sure. But likely she then tries to change her brief there in the bed. And then what happens is the brief will then go to the floor, or some poop, if she had a very healthy evening, might spill out. And then she'll walk in the poop, and then the footprints will be everywhere. So you see how carnage can easily be employed there. And so I walk in there, and luckily at the place I was living, we have this lovely guy, Luis, who was like, took care of all the hallways have carpets, and he's constantly, it was a beautiful place, and he's cleaning the carpets. He's got this turbo machine that he had already used a couple times, but it's completely effective. He comes up and he cleans up the poop. It's like nothing ever happened, no big deal. The problem here is that she tried to clean it up herself once she realized what was going on. She had some lucid moment where she realized what was going on, and she took Clorox bleach and poured it on the carpet to try to rub it out, which stains carpet that cannot be fixed. And I remember it was one of those moments where I was like immediately wanting to get angry at her, and because I'm renting this place and we're having to spend all this money making it brand new again. But also it's just like, how could she, you know, do that? And actually the Clorox is a real big problem because the poop can be cleaned up and made to look as new. So I checked myself and I, you know, wasn't as mad as I was feeling in my.
But I will say that you texted us. We woke up to your text of like carnage, grenades and shrapnel. And we felt terrible and rushed over there. But
yeah, and thank you for coming over and helping with the whole situation. And then I, after we had kind of like dealt with it, and Luis came and he cleaned it, and I approached mom and I was like, what happened here? And she was like, oh, nothing happened. You know, she's like very deflective and just acting like there was nothing that went on. She doesn't know what I'm talking about. It wasn't her. Those are the types of reactions she has, which that's part of the disease. It's understandable. And then I had this moment, like after everything was settled, and this is really one of the saddest moments I've felt for mom. I like to think I've generally taken some things in stride over the whole situation, but like this one was really very sad to me because I realized that there was a moment there where after she had pooped on the floor or spread poop on the floor and stepped all over it and spread it a little bit, she realized, oh no, there's poop on the floor. And it came from me, like I did that. And then she actively went to try to clean it up, knowing that's something bad that occurred. And to think that that's a moment that she experienced where, at least for a moment, she was like lucid and like, it's almost like she woke up from not being there. And then she was there for a second, like, oh no, what just happened? And then to have to try to find a way to clean it and being on the floor trying to clean it, it made me sad that she had to go through that. And that was really tough to take. And boy, did we learn the lesson. You've got to be there when she hits the ground. So after that, the next few days, I was, you know, getting up at 5:30 and checking her bed every 10 minutes to see if she was ready to get up yet to make sure that we handled that situation. And then that never happened again. And but then, you know, that was a rule that was a hard and fast rule that we learned the hard way. And then when she went into the assisted living place, that's a rule that was not always followed religiously. And so that was a problem. And segueing to our current caregivers, it is absolutely being followed to the letter. And of course, I'm watching the cameras and checking her before they even get there at 7:30 in the morning. If she starts to get up and move around, it's not the hugest deal if that were to happen at her own home, but it doesn't because we're on top of it. And that's just one of the details that have to be followed to make sure that when you come over to bake a pie or watch Sound of Music with her, you can't because all this stuff is being handled. And it's such a great comfort to us and gives us so much relief and actual physical time saved and anxiety saved to have these great, great women working for us. So we can't wait to introduce them to you and talk more about what they do.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think that we talked a lot about, you know, that situation was really one of the reasons that we ended up, one of the reasons we moved her into assisted living. We thought that was going to be taken care of. And then a reason why we moved her out is because it wasn't. And, you know, we don't know why that was the case, but, you know, we talk a lot about the lack of care available or just the inability to have the facility keep up with her care plan. But, you know, most days when I would come to see her, which was often, she was often sitting in a dirty brief or shrapnel was all over the room or, Maybe either she had changed her own clothes or someone had helped her to change clothes, but soiled clothing or linens would be sitting in a basket in the closet. And so here we're paying for assisted living and I am physically washing her, bringing her into the shower, scrubbing her clean, doing all the laundry, switching over from load to load. Sometimes there was so much laundry that I would actually bring all of her soiled stuff to my house, wash it, dry it, fold it, bring it back the next day because they just couldn't keep up with that, what we consider to be pretty simple, which is 3 times a day you're checking her, you're making sure that she's not changing herself or spreading things around. And sadly, for whatever reason, that wasn't happening and it was a real issue. So yeah, there is a lot of joy to not having that level of responsibility anymore, to the point where I almost forgot until we had this conversation how really traumatic it was and how deeply in it I was. It's so delightful to not be worried about it. And also, listen, I'm sure it's no picnic for her to have to be sitting in a poopy diaper.
And I think that's a great place to leave it for now. In a second, we're going to come back and talk to Latrice and Alice. For now, please enjoy the dulcet tones of Joanna on her piano.
And we're back. We hope you enjoyed the latest tunes from Joanna. We are so fortunate today to be joined by one of the dream team members of my mother's care team, Latrice, who is here to talk to us today about her experiences in caregiving in general and also your experiences with our mom. So we really want to know, to begin, how did you decide to get into the caregiver world?
How did I decide? I didn't decide. I got a funny story for you.
Let's hear it.
We love funny stories.
I started caregiving at Walton Wood. But when I got hired at Walton Wood, I was not hired as a caregiver. I was hired as a housekeeper. Mm. When the supervisor interviewed me, she was like, I love your personality. She was like, can I hire you as a caregiver? And I was scared. Because she was like, the pay is more. She was like, but your personality, I love your personality, and I feel like you would be a great fit for that. I was so scared, guys. I was like, I don't know. I never did this before. She was like, I'll hire you for that, and then we'll do it for maybe a month. And if you don't like it, I'll give you the housekeeping position.
What was scary to you? Why were you feeling
because
that
I
way?
Never, ever dealt with elderly people as opposed to taking care of them with their everyday needs. Yeah, I babysit kids before, but that's totally different. So the first week, I was like, oh, I love this. The residents loved me, and that's how I got into caregiving. I was hired as a housekeeper. But that's how I got into caregiving. I was 19 years old.
Wow, that's incredible.
And I've been doing it ever since. I think that lady changed my life forever because I have came across so many great families. I've came across so many great people as a whole. So I feel like she changed my life because I never, ever got into caregiving until she offered me that position.
That's incredible. And did they give you training or did you have to go
through
training?
I did training. We do training online, and then we did hands-on training. So, of course, we did the training for the first maybe 2 days, and it was like slay. It was so easy going. Like, it wasn't hard for the residents to get attached to me. Sure. It wasn't hard for me.
That's not a surprise.
Yes, we're pretty attached to ourselves, so we get that idea.
But when you work in this field, I tell people, you have to have a calm, loving heart.
I bet.
You have to.
Sure.
Because you won't make it far doing this if you don't.
Yeah.
You have to have a calm, loving heart. You have to.
And have you worked at lots of different kinds of
places? I only worked at actually two facilities, private duty. I always did private duty. I always had my own clients after that.
I would imagine that there's a lot of turnover in the profession. You were probably one of the more lengthy days. It is.
That's why me and my girl Kelly. You know how many
Kelly, people, who you all know if you've been listening to the podcast. You know,
episode one, Kelly.
They work together.
Yes. You know how many people I've met? And I still talk to this day, like nurses, and they always contact me to see if I'm doing private duty and can help them with a client.
I bet. It seems like all of you who are working with us have a hustle. Can you tell us just a little bit about what your daily life is like, even including, I mean, you have your own life as
well. I do, and I try to balance it. One day I really want to venture off and take a leap on faith and just do this full time though.
And well, you should, because you work for yourself.
I do.
And that must feel pretty good.
It does.
But also scary. You don't know where your next
job
is. I
don't know where my
next
person is coming from. And I mean, I really like meeting people, like families that recommend me.
Of course. Right. But that must happen all the time.
It does. And that's how I got a lot of my families, from recommendation, you know. So hopefully one day I won't have to wake up and go to the Coney anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think that day is probably arrived for you.
Latrice's customers at the Coney will be very upset.
They will be, because they love me too. But
yeah, well, that's
I wanna
what a curse that everywhere you go.
I want to eventually just take care of my little cute ladies and men for the rest of my life.
One of the things you said really rings true, because the one thing I noticed just from our experience at the assisted living facility that Mom was in, and since, is you're talking about you have to have a good heart,
you
have to really want to do the job to help someone.
You have
because
to.
This is not the type of job that you can just do for money.
You can't,
and you'll know it right away.
And I mean,
in that first week, I'm sure you realize that
you
had something in your
money.
Heart that said, "This is for me." And I'm sure you've also seen others who've come in maybe just for the money. Or
yeah. And you can tell the difference.
You can tell the difference, right?
You can tell the difference. You got a lot of people that just go there because they think that the money is good.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot do this doing that, because so many people are failing in this field. That's why it's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
I would imagine it's very hard to stick with this profession because, I mean, you lose people.
It is a very emotional attachment.
Yeah.
You have to have a loving, calm heart to do this, because you want somebody to be safe with you.
Right.
For sure. And so we want to ask a couple questions just about the actual work itself.
Mm-hmm.
So people get an idea of what you're doing. And because you've had a bunch of different experiences, it sounds like you've had two assisted homes, kind of a more formal setting.
Mm-hmm.
But between that, there was a lot of time, and now that you're doing private care. So like where we met you, or we kind of overlapped and met right after at the assisted home, what was your like daily shift like? Like what were you doing when you're there? What are some of the important things?
In the morning time, we get up the residents, excuse me. So we have breakfast. So you have a list where you have to get up. Maybe you might have 5 to 12 residents on your list, okay? It lets you know what showers you have to do before breakfast. It lets you know what that resident may need. Some residents, you just can get them up, set their clothes out, and they know what they need to do. Some, you have to really assist them. So it's more hands-on. But a lot of them, you just get them up and remind them, hey, you're my best friend today. We're going to have a good day, and it's me and you. So I tell people, if you get aggressiveness from a person, it's because of the way you talk. It's the tone. It's the way that, you know, you handle it. Hey, today might not be a good day. Guess what? It's okay. Me and you going to do this together.
That's amazing.
You
that
know,
is amazing, yeah.
You just have to change your perspective on how you handle things. Sometimes people just don't be in the mood to get out the bed.
Yeah.
Well, and
a lot of people are suffering from things like dementia.
Yes.
Like, how do you keep your cool when you know that they're going to do things you told them not to do, and you're going to encounter situations where you have to see a little disaster going on in the room?
Yeah,
and stuff
but
like
see, that comes with, again, you have to have a love You gotta
right
have
demeanor.
You gotta have the right demeanor, because it's like, okay, yes, I told you you can't do that, but guess what? It's okay. I'm gonna step in the kitchen. By the time I come back in, it's gonna be a different answer.
Mm, yeah, that's true. You must see lots of changes.
Yes,
just from minute
it's gonna
to
be
minute.
A different act. Mm. It's gonna be a different answer because they're facing that.
Yeah.
So with me telling them, hey, you can't do that like this. They are not going to remember when I walk out the room and come back in and say it again. Mm. So it's just a demeanor thing. It's how you handle it. You just got to change the way you say it. Or you have to talk about something else, and then we'll go back to that. Mm.
And at the facility, did you have people that you were managing? Like a team of people that they had and all that?
Or? No. When I started being a med tech, that's when I became the head on the floor.
Okay.
So I, even with me passing meds, I still helped the girls on the floor. If we were short caregivers, I still helped. I was supposed to just really pass out meds or check vitals. And if someone fall, I have to call EMS. Okay. But if we were short on the floor, I always helped my girls.
And you were probably short on the floor often.
All the time. Mm-hmm. So I always helped.
So you really feel that crunch of the caregiver
I
shortage.
Do.
For sure.
I do. Because you got people working on the floor with you that don't want to help you. I have my own. This is how they think. I have my own set of people. You on your own.
Mm. And you were there for 3 years. Is that a long tenure for a caregiver at a certain facility?
It is.
For someone to stay that long?
It is.
Yeah.
Especially today.
I imagine so.
Especially today, it is. Because it's hard to keep people that want to work. You know, and it's not because of the residents. It's because of the workers that they have. If I'm going to work today, some people don't want to show up anymore because, oh, I got to work with Andrew today. He never does nothing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm stuck with doing everything on the floor and, oh, Andrew's going to come in. He's going to be hiding in the bathroom. This is why a lot of people don't stay at facilities. Because they don't handle being left well.
Yeah.
So if you can't pick me up and I can't pick you up, a lot of people don't want to work with you.
That makes sense.
So that's why they're always short.
Yeah, it seems like it's not just where you're at, but every place has a turnover
it
challenge.
It has a turnover challenge.
Definitely a turnover
and
challenge.
And that's the reason why.
Yeah. And when you were there, did you get to know a little bit of like the different levels, like between assisted living and memory care?
Mm-hmm.
And did you deal with both of those?
I deal with both of them when I worked in both.
How would you describe the main differences between someone who's assisted living and someone who's in memory care?
Memory care is the last stage of dementia. That's it. That's the only way I can explain it. But they are still happy. You know, but we have to assist them more.
Sure.
We have to sit with them more. So even in a facility, memory care, we all have to be together. We cannot let a memory care person stay in their room by themselves.
Right.
Yeah, I heard it described when we were there and we were looking into the different stuff as someone in memory care has a tough time staying focused on anything for more than 5 minutes
anything.
At a time.
Anything. So literally, if you go to memory care, once we get memory care up, we're all together all day. We cannot leave memory care alone in their room, anything, because they wander off and things happen.
Yeah.
And so we won't have to take a chance with that. When we get memory care up in facilities, we sit together all day. We have lunch together. We have breakfast together. We have dinner together. We do activities as a whole together.
Okay.
It's everything is together with memory care.
And switching gears a bit towards this lady over there. By the way, it should be noted that we have one live audience member, and it's Joanna Edelson. Mom, you want to say hello? Yell a big hello.
Hello.
Yay.
That's right, JoJo.
We're talking all about you. I'm sure you love that. And today happens to be one of the days where you have all three shifts. So it's a Latrice day.
It's my day.
Can you walk us a little bit through, like, even this morning when you got here, like, what goes on and what you're doing with mom?
Morning time. Sometimes my JoJo is woke. Sometimes she is and I have to wake her up. But this morning she was woke. I walked in the room. She looks over and she always smiles. I turn the light on. I say, good morning, JoJo. Good morning. So we get up and we start our daily routines. I say, we're going to go to breakfast. I'm going to take her out to breakfast one day.
Oh, my gosh.
She'll love it. I get her up in the morning. We start.
And there's some, we don't have to talk about all the details, but there's some bathroom work right away. Right?
Shower, Get dressed and we go to the kitchen table. She eats breakfast. We might watch Morning Joe. She haven't been feeling Morning Joe lately.
She's been less TV Sound of Music through the Alexa.
Less TV. She hasn't been. She'll watch it while she's sitting at the kitchen table, but she won't go and watch it anymore.
Yeah, I noticed.
Less TV.
Yeah.
Less TV.
But she's been eating better lately.
She has.
Yeah.
She has been eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner better. So this one right here, she loves outside, though.
Yes.
Loves it. Yeah, she's been trying to escape out of the door and out of the window.
This morning, I said, JoJo, it's raining. We can't go outside today.
She does. Yesterday when I came over, we sat on the deck for a long time, and she was just so happy to be outside.
She loves outside.
You know, in Michigan,
that's one thing I love. She loves outside.
Yep. I love when we take her for walks and when we turn back to the house and she says, yep,
that's it.
There it is.
It's still there. Every single time. That's why I love taking her for walks, though, because I don't care which way I go, if we go to the left or the right, it makes me happy that she always remember where her house is.
She's so happy to be here.
And she's happy to be here.
And she loves playing her piano. I heard it this morning.
Yep. So if we come from the back way or the front way, she knows each time where her house is.
Do you find that, I mean, we know how hard it is to find good caregivers and how lucky, we'll say it 1,000 times over, how lucky we are. We wouldn't be in this spot if it weren't for all of you. Do you find there's a huge demand? Are people calling you and saying, can you cover this shift? Can you meet this person?
I did have a couple people call me.
We almost joked, Andrew and I, about how we were going to put you in the caregiver protection plan.
We've got her in the witness protection program.
Yeah, Latrice is in her name.
Notice we haven't said her last name, and we're not going to.
It is true. Nobody, we don't want anyone to steal you. So what advice would you give to someone who's trying to find a you? What should they be doing? Or what kinds of questions should they be asking if they're trying to find someone to help with their aging loved one?
Ask someone, do they love doing this?
How do you know when the answer is true?
Because you can feel it.
Yeah.
When you first met me, how did you feel?
I knew it right away.
Mm-hmm.
When you first met me, how did you feel?
I will tell you this. We ended up having all of you over for brunch. Andrew, you weren't here, but Julie and I were here. And we had you just come over on a Sunday afternoon so we could all chat before we brought my mom home. And I wanted to cry. I felt so just wrapped in a cocoon of the joy of having you there. We could feel it. The connection for all of us, how you all felt about each other, how we knew you were going to care for our mother. And one of you, it might have been you or it might have been Alice, who said, listen, if you're lucky enough to be able to keep a loved one in your home, that's
me.
The greatest yes.
Bring them home.
Bring them home if you can do it.
Bring them home.
Listen, we were first floor accessible. You know, that was a huge factor. We knew that we had the three of us involved in her care. And then when we found our team, we knew that was possible. We recognized that's not the case for everybody. But when you said that, that just made me feel like it was risky for us to bring her home. We were nervous. I immediately felt wrapped in this great decision that we have not regretted for a moment since.
Because you can ask someone a million questions and they can give you the right answers, but they're still not there. Look how many people get jobs doing this.
Yeah, you're right.
That's true. You can feel if someone is right or wrong. I say this all the, I mean, now that I'm older, when I was younger, I never realized that. But now I can just sense. Look how many people have jobs doing this.
Yeah.
And they're still not, they're not made for it.
True. You're right.
Well, I think that's a great place to end. Mom, can you help us out, please?
For what?
Repeat after me.
What?
We'll be right back.
Okay.
And that is a wrap, ladies and gentlemen.
And we will be right back after people listen to you sing and play the piano, Mama.
Oh, nice.
Thanks, Latrice. We appreciate this so much. And we're back, just off a conversation with my mom's caregiver, Latrice, who is such a delightful human. We want to mention that we had intended to interview both Latrice and Alice, one of my mom's other, our mom's other caregivers, but she really wasn't even able to navigate the time with us because her hustle is big, as are all of our caregivers. And Alice is, what did you say she's working?
They're all very busy, and she has overnight shifts at the auto plant where I think she's working from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., 6 out of 7 nights.
Incredible.
And then she was coming here for a 7:30 to 9:30 shift, 6 out of 7 days.
Incredible.
So couldn't keep it up.
Yeah. And Latrice also works at the Coney Island, and I would assume maybe they have other families they're caregiving for as well. The hustle of the women who come in and out of our mom's house is really incredible. They have families of their own. They're going from job to job. It's really a challenging life for them, and yet they arrive with smiles on their faces and this warmth and sensitivity toward our mom that just makes us feel that we made the right move in choosing to bring her back home and surround her with wonderful, caring people.
And I think it's worthwhile just to mention that it's also important to get your affairs in order as it relates to the group of caregivers that you have coming in the home and how it's set up in the first place. Because if you set it up in the right way, it works well. But you do have to be a manager. You do have to make sure that it's well understood what the requirements are, that they're okay with that. We have 2 documents that guide our relationship with our caregivers. One is a simple contract that stipulates that they're independent contractors and that they've read the scope of services that are very clearly written out, which is the other document, and they assert that yes, they're okay with all that stuff. We work together on them and putting these documents together, and it's basically our own home care plan that we do. And I think that's very responsible. I mean, important to get that well understood, because if everybody starts off on the right foot and they know what they have to do, that's great. And I think also it's important to know that you got to listen to their feedback, because they are the ones that are on the ground doing a lot of the grunt work in the trenches. And so you have to have regular discussions with them about what's happening, listening to their feedback, adjusting care as necessary. And that's really important. And finally, I would just say that it's important to create this feeling of a team. Obviously, we have our own group text chain that we're often talking on.
And share videos and photos and also sweet things. I mean, one of our caregivers, Brandy, had a baby 2 months ago? Mm-hmm. And we love seeing her little one. My mom loves it. I think it provides a nice connection among all of us.
Yeah, and we also have one of their suggestions was to have an old school physical logbook that they handwrite in every time they're here that says what's happened and alerts everybody else to what's going on. And so I think having that sense of team and the fact that we've got this dream team working, we're all working together, really is makes it feel like an extended family. And especially that, we feel very lucky about that we created that.
For sure. And again, I say this every time, but I will say it again. You do the bulk of that work, the scheduling, the communication, the checking in. I am, you know, on the background of that situation, but I think it really makes a difference that they know that you're at the helm and that we all communicate together and the three of us as siblings communicate effectively. You know, all the caregivers have talked about that with us. We'll get into that more in another episode because I think it's important to discuss the dynamics of the family, and we're fortunate, but we're also incredibly fortunate that we found a team who we know cares about our mom and cares about their work. And because of that, that little lady sitting in that chair over there is indeed living her best life.
She certainly is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good place to leave it. Thank you guys for listening. We will see you next time. As always,
we do the email. Let's give them the email address. You can email us at ifitsnotone@gmail.com. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you have a comment. Maybe there's a situation that you would like us to explore. We're happy to hear from you. Again, our goal is to create a community of caregivers, and you're part of our community. So we would love to hear from you.
And as always, here's Mom to play us out.
Embrace me, my irreplaceable you. Embrace me, the one to tell you who will be. Just one look at you brings out the history in me. You and you alone bring out the history in me. And then when you're finished, you can always go to see to what do you want to be forever.
We want to mention that we had a